Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us today and tuning in to Revival Radio. We're an outreach of Revival Christian Fellowship located here in Menifee, California. Now, Pastor John Miller continues his series today based upon the book of Daniel with the message, The Handwriting on the Wall. Let me set the stage for today's message. At the king's palace, a great feast was taking place when all of a sudden a mysterious hand began to write on the wall. This shocked the partygoers, but Belshazzar remained unremorseful, and once again, the Babylonian wise men were called in, but they could not explain the handwriting. So, Daniel was summoned to the palace to interpret the writing. Let's join Pastor John now as he continues with our text in Daniel chapter 5.
Now, it's interesting, when everything's going good in the world, they don't need the believer, especially the preacher. But when the handwriting's on the wall, we need to go to church this Sunday. Do we have a Bible around here? Well, I think there's one somewhere. Let's try to find it. Dust it off. It's on a shelf somewhere. Don't we know any Christians? Can we call them over and ask them what's going on? When you hit on hard times, I've noticed how many times even unbelievers, if they get sick, if they're out of work, or maybe they're on their deathbed, they know they're going to die. Could you call the preacher for me? They haven't been to church in 50 years, but now it's time to call the preacher because the writing is on the wall. It's time to turn to God. Let me say, it's better to turn to God in a time like that than never to turn to God. And if you're here tonight and you've been running from God and you've been rebelling against God and you are not following God, you're basically in the party with Belshazzar. And that's kind of your focus. You're praising the God of gold and silver and all of these things. You're an idolatrous, worshiping materialism. Maybe tonight you need to surrender your heart and life to God. He's calling you by name. Tonight is your night. And so Belshazzar calls for Daniel, verse 13, and he comes before the king. Daniel, by the way, a little footnote, is 80 years old. He's still serving the Lord. There's hope for you tonight. You think you're getting old and you should be let out to pasture? There's still hope for you. Moses was beginning his ministry when he was 80 years of age. The king said to him, verse 13, "Are you Daniel? Art thou the Daniel which art the children of the captivities of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jewry or Jerusalem or Judea? I've even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and an excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, astrologers, have been brought in before me, but they should read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of that thing." There's no help from the world. "And I've heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations, dissolve doubts. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and thou shalt have a gold chain about thy neck, and thou shalt be third ruler in the kingdom." Now I can't help, I know the story, you know the story, but I can't help when I read that, Daniel's thinking, big deal. Like, I really want your gold chain, you know, I really want to look like Mr. T or something like that. This is stupid. "Daniel, if you give me the meaning of the writing, I'll give you a gold necklace." Woo, whippy-dee. I can't wait. I love the way Daniel responded. We see Daniel's faithfulness from verse 17 to verse 24. "Daniel answered and said before the king, 'Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation.'" Daniel's basically saying in modern vernacular, "Keep your stupid gold chain. Keep your necklace, king. And as far as being the third in the kingdom, you're dead tonight, dude. You're not even going to be around anymore. I'm going to take your job," is what he's thinking. He's going to be promoted to second in the kingdom, and he's going to outlive both his father and the king Belshazzar. So he says, "You can keep your gifts." Now, a little point I want to make before I pass over this, lest I forget, and that, you know, when you're a believer, the world has nothing to offer you. The world has nothing to offer you. We can make you famous. We can make you rich. We can bring you pleasure. You can have possessions. You can be popular. The world has nothing for me. You know that as a Christian, you're dead to the world and its affections and its lust. If you find yourself as a believer longing for the world, something's wrong. If you want to be like the world and in the world and behave like the world, then something's wrong. The world has nothing for me. Anything the world offers, I'm not interested. I love the words in that song that say, content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss, my sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. I love that. I'm content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss, my sinful self, my only shame, and my only glory is the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. This was no temptation to the great man of God, Daniel. So he says, I'll tell you the writing and make known to you the interpretation. Verse 18, O thou King, the Most High God. Let me point out what we're reading here. He doesn't just go right to the words and their meaning. He gives them a little mini sermon. As I read these words, I'm saying, preach it, Daniel. Preach it, Daniel. Go for it, buddy. So he really kind of chastens the king and rebukes the king. Thou, O King, the Most High God, verse 18, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, gave unto thy father, Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. God gave him this kingdom. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. He was a complete monarch, ruling sovereign. And when his heart was lifted up, that's his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, and his mind hardened in pride, which is what's happening with Belshazzar, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like unto beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And then he lays it on him. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, though you knew all these things. But you've lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. So he's the Most High God, and he's the Lord of heaven. And he has brought you brought vessels into the house before thee, that thy and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines had drank wine in them, and you have praised the gods of silver and the god and of gold and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone, which see not, they hear not, and they know not. And the God in whose very breath is thy hand is held, thou hast not glorified in all thy ways, thou hast not glorified him. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Amazing words that Daniel gives unto the king. He said, listen, your grandfather was lifted up with pride and God humbled him. You know, it's a shame that we don't learn from others' mistakes. It's a shame that nations don't learn from other nations' mistakes. It's a shame right now that the United States of America isn't learning from history. Righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You go back in history, look at so many nations that sin brought their destruction. Sin will bring the destruction of America, as it is bringing in America. And we're not learning from history. We're so short-sighted when we look back. And any time in our own individual life, we don't learn from the pages of Scripture. You know, you can read the Bible, you can read about David's sin and Abraham's sin and Noah's sin and different saints of God who stumbled and fell. Guess what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to learn from their mistakes. You're not supposed to read these stories and go, just go headlong into the same sin. Don't you read your Bible? Don't you see the judgment of God and the chastisement of God and the consequences that it brings upon them? There's a lot of negative examples in the Bible about what we're not to do and not to be. And if you really want to be smart, you would read them and learn from them. But here's this Belshazzar, and he doesn't learn anything from his grandfather. Now, I have kids and I have grandkids. I don't know if I'll live long enough to have great-grandchildren if the Lord tarries and I live that long. But I hope and pray that my kids learn something from me. I pray that those next generation learn something from me. Look, you know, I've been there. I've done that. Let me tell you that's not the way to do it, and that's not the way to live, and that, you know, you're cutting yourself off from the blessings of God. I want you to note the three sins of Belshazzar. Verse 22, he had knowledge, and knowledge brings responsibility. He sinned against the light. You might want to write that down. He sinned against the light. Knowledge brings responsibility. The more you know, the more you're responsible for. If you know the gospel, you're responsible for it. If you come to this church and you hear the gospel and you don't believe, you're responsible for it. Don't blame God if you go to hell. Don't blame God if you're not saved. You can believe and receive Jesus Christ and be saved. Knowledge brings responsibility. Jesus rebuked some of the cities and the places he was at in his day. He said, because you have this great knowledge, the Son of God is here, it's going to be more tolerable on the day of judgment than for Sodom and Gomorrah, than for you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. Because you had this great knowledge and these miracles and the Son of God was there. We have the Bible. We have preachers on the radio and on television. We have printed material. We have all this knowledge of the Word of God. And if we reject that light, judgment will come upon us. And then notice, secondly, he had deliberate defiance in verse 23. He lifted up himself against the Lord of heaven. So he deliberately was defying the God of heaven. And then thirdly, in verse 23, he was idolatrous. He praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass and of wood and of stone. Now, we today are idolatrous. And an idol is anything that comes between you and God. Anything that takes the place of God in your heart is an idol. And God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can worship a person. You can worship a passion. You can worship your career. You can worship your hobby. You can worship your intellect. You can worship your education. You can worship your money. You can worship things. Maybe you worship your car. Anything can become an idol. Anything that comes between you and the true and the living God. But notice these false gods, they cannot see, they cannot hear, and they do not know. They're dumb gods. And you know what happens when you worship them? You become like them. You become like your God. If you worship the true and living God, you become like your God. If you worship an insensate God, an inanimate God, stone, silver, wood, then you become like your God. You become dead. But anything that takes the place of God becomes an idol. What is it in your life that has taken the place of God? And notice he says, this is the God in whose hand thy breath is, verse 23. You ever thought about how dependent upon God we are? That your very breath is in the hands of God. And all of your ways, and yet you have not glorified Him. Mark at the end of verse 23 that the purpose of life is to glorify God. You know what the purpose of life is? To know God and to glorify God forever. That's the chief goal of man. Not to make money, not to fool around, not to have wild parties, not to have a good time, not to have a lot of things, but the chief goal of man is to know God and to glorify God forever. And if you're not doing that, you're not fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. Now we see in closing, verse 25 to 31, Babylon falls. Babylon falls. And this is the writing that was written. And he gives them the meaning. Meaning, tenkel, eupharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. So there were four words. The first two words were repeated twice. This is the meaning of the interpretation. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And Paris, which is the singular of eupharsin, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet. They put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But in that very night, and it will almost indicate that the king went back to partying. Well, okay, you got your gold chain, and we know what it means. Okay, let's party once again. That very night was Belshazzar, who, by the way, was 35 years of age, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. That night comes for every individual. And Darius, the Median, and Darius being, it's believed, being a title, like the title Pharaoh or Caesar, the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It was actually the Cyrus, the king of Media, that took the kingdom, but he did it in the name of Darius, who was the king of Medo-Persia. Now, this king of Persia, this king of Media-Persia, was 62 years of age. Now, he praised the gods of gold and silver and stone, but he didn't praise the God of heaven, and judgment fell upon him. And the meaning of the words are interesting. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Verse 26. So God has numbered your days. The Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I actually believe that God knows the day we will die. You don't, I don't, but God does. And no one can guarantee that it's far off. No one can guarantee that it's years down the road. You go, I'm young. Well, Belshazzar was 35. I've seen healthy, young 35-year-olds go to bed feeling great and die in their sleep for no apparent reason. When it's your time to go, God takes you home. The Bible says it's appointed. Everyone has an appointment. It's appointed that everyone wants to die. And after this, the judgment. And once you die, there's no time to get right with God. So his days were numbered. And then tenkel means thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Picture of a scale. And God's on one side and Belshazzar on the other. And Belshazzar, you're a lightweight. You don't measure up. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, no, not one. We've all fallen short. We're all sinners. We're all guilty. We've broken God's laws. And then Perez means divided. It means that God has judged you and you're going to be removed and your kingdom's going to be given, verse 28, to the Medes and the Persian. And so that very night, verse 30, was Belshazzar the king slain. Now, how did it happen? History tells us, and also the prophecy of Isaiah 45. Write it down. It's an amazing prophecy. Isaiah 45, verses 1 to 4. The prophet Isaiah had actually prophesied how Belshazzar would be taken and the city of Babylon destroyed. What happened was that the Medo-Persians diverted the Euphrates River. Remember I told you the Euphrates River ran through the city of Babylon? Well, they actually diverted the river. And so they dried up the riverbed that went under the wall. Now, there was a gate there to keep people from getting through even where the river was. But they had some conspirators inside the city, and they actually opened the gates for them and let them in. So on this dry riverbed, We see that the Medo-Persian army, while he's partying in his palace, the armies are going under the walls and coming in, and that very night he was going to be slain and he was going to be wiped out. So he's in the middle of his partying, the doors burst open, and just as God said in the handwriting on the wall, tonight your kingdom's divided and going to be given to the Medo-Persian Empire. And this is exactly what God prophesied years earlier in Nebuchadnezzar's vision, head of gold, overtaken by breast and arms of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. And so they diverted the river, they came under the city, they came in and slew the king and conquered the kingdom of Babylon, fell in 539 B.C. Did you know that there's a last night for every nation and there's a last night for every individual? There is a last night for every nation. There's a last night for every individual. Just a week ago Sunday, I mentioned that I have a cousin. She never married, never had children, and she passed away. She's the oldest of those Miller cousins. She passed away a week ago. Yesterday, my wife and I were in Whittier. I was officiating her services. So just yesterday, I'm standing at the cemetery with a casket as we lower her into the ground. And it was just a reminder again, life is short, death is certain, so teach me to number my days so that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. You know, it'd be awful foolish for you to be here tonight and to hear this study from the book of Daniel and not be right with God, and not be ready to go to heaven, not know whether or not you're ready to go to heaven. If you were to die tonight, if God were to actually come for you tonight, would you be ready to go to heaven? You might be a specimen of health, but it could be an accident. It could be a tragic accident. You never know when you are going to go. And that's why you need to be ready. The Bible says all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. But the Bible says that whoever believes on Jesus Christ will be saved. Jesus came from heaven and died on a cross to take your sins and to pay their penalty. He was buried and then he rose from the dead so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life. You know, being a Christian isn't going to church. It's not being baptized. Those are false trusts. That's like Belshazzar trusting in the walls of Babylon. I'm okay. Nothing can happen to me. I'm okay, I've been baptized, I'm okay, I go to church, I'm okay, I'm a good person, I'm okay, I live in the United States. All Americans go to heaven. And you haven't been born again. I want to ask you tonight, are you sure that you have eternal life? Are you sure that when you die you'll go to heaven? Would you like tonight to make sure? I don't think that you should leave here tonight without saying to the Lord, Lord, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and be my Savior. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. I'm going to give you tonight an opportunity. I haven't done this for many weeks on Wednesday night, but if there's anyone here, please don't say no to Jesus tonight. Don't resist the Lord tonight. It's no accident that he brought you here tonight to hear this message. Remember, Belshazzar was troubled and his knees were shaking and he was knocking. Maybe you're kind of distraught right now and maybe you're troubled, you're sweating a little bit, you're getting a little nervous. That's the Holy Spirit. He's convicting you and he's drawing you to Jesus Christ. Maybe when you lay in your bed at night, you go to sleep, you go, what would happen if I died in my sleep tonight? Would I go to heaven?
Today, we learned about the three sins of Belshazzar. First, he had knowledge. He knew what had happened to his grandfather when he was lifted up in pride, but he did not respond to that knowledge. Secondly, he displayed deliberate defiance. Scripture says he lifted himself up against the Lord of heaven. And thirdly, he was idolatrous. We understand that an idol can be anything that comes between us and God. Daniel told the king, "The God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified." Pastor John reiterated that the purpose of life is to know God and to glorify him alone. Amen. This month, we have a special offer for all of you, our Revival Radio listeners. Now, Pastor John Miller has recently written a short little book called How to Be a Godly Father. And in it, he describes first the many challenges facing fathers today, And then he offers biblical instruction and wisdom that will encourage men in teaching their children. Simply give us a call at 866-973-8482. You know, we'd love for you to worship with us in person sometime. If you're ever in our area, our Sunday service times are at 8 a.m., 9:45, 11:30, or 6 p.m. Now, we also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights that is cranking, and it draws a ton of people from all around the area right there in the middle of the week, 7 p.m. The church is located at Scott Road, just east of the 215 freeway in Menifee, California. Of course, if you can't join us in person, you can always join us online at revival.tv, revival.tv. Well, that's our program for today, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We don't take it for granted that you spend your time with us here, and we hope that you can join us next time. Until then, may each of us continue to preach the word. Be ready in season and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.